And I do hope we have on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. You are loud and clear.
How are you?
Good. It's good to have you. Chag Sameach. Chag Purim Sameach.
You too. It's good to be on. As always, always good to be on.
Yeah, same.
It's a good way for me to start my day. It's beautiful.
That's great.
Everyone might hear a little rumble or a little noise in the background. It's just my son is on my lap, so hopefully everyone will excuse that.
It's fine. It's good. Actually, the next interview that we are going to have today is with Alina Sherman, and her daughter is in the background, too. So.
Oh, there you go.
Don't worry.
Okay. So, I thought that let's talk about Purim.
Purim.
Which is coming up on Saturday night and Sunday of this week, so it's moments away. So, everyone knows, I'll just recap the story of Purim quickly in a nutshell. The way that it is the Persian Empire of the 4th century BCE extended over 127 lands.
Yeah.
And all the Jews were part of that, obviously. But King Ahasuerus, the king, had his wife, that time Queen Vashti, executed for not following his orders. He orchestrated, obviously, a beauty pageant to find a new queen. It was the beauty pageant of Persia. And the Jewish girl Esther found favor in his eyes and became the new queen. And obviously we know that many things that happened through that she saved the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Now it's very, very interesting. This month, Adar and Purim, it's joy. It's supposed to be a very joyful month. It is the most joyful month of the year, you know. It says,
yeah, they say Nichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha.
That's right. You have to increase in your
happiness.
In your happiness. It also says that if you need to go to court or you need to be in any of these types of things, it's better to do it in this month because the happiness and everything will be with you. Now, Purim, as opposed to many other holidays that we celebrate, commemorate a story that happened to our ancestors. In a seemingly natural way. You know, unlike Pesach and Hanukkah, for example, each step along the way is not out of the ordinary. Did God have anything to do with it? In fact, if we look at the Megillah, God's name is not even mentioned even once, unlike Pesach and Hanukkah and so on.
Yeah.
The only book in the whole Torah like that. Now, if we look at the name of the book that we read on Purim, we get a clue of the theme of Purim and the idea of what happened there. It's called Megillat Esther, which is, Megillah means revealing in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And Esther, Lahaster, means hidden.
Hide. Yeah.
Revealing the hidden. What does that mean? And if you go and look at who were the influential Jews at the time, Mordechai was a Jewish lady, was a Jewish leader, and Esther, a relative of Mordechai, was a Jewish queen. And the Megillah tells us the response of the leaders of the Jews to decree was that Mordechai's first reaction was sackcloth and ashes and prayed to God. And Esther's reaction, he told Mordechai to gather the Jews, fast, do teshuvah, and then I'll go to the king. And it's surprising because we'd expect two people at such high influence to use their connections and positions first with such a devastating, decree. But no, what do they do? They first turn to God and ask God to forgive any sins that might be standing in their way and to annul the terrible decree. Why? Why don't they just go straight to the king? And Mordechai Esther recognized that all that happens in this world and in our lives is part of God's master plan. And it's really all directed, by a higher source. They recognized that God hides himself in our physical world and he doesn't allow himself to be noticed. And Mordechai and Esther knew that Haman and Ahasuerus' decree was not an event that happened to come about. said they knew that everything is directed by God. And so our rabbis explained, says, hold on a second, how does this make sense? And our rabbis explained that the whole decree against the Jews came about because the Jews put faith first in a human being as opposed to God. What did they do? They went to Ahasuerus' party. You know, they invited all the Jews to come to his party. He was gone out for so many days. And Mordechai, he told the Jews not to go. But they didn't listen. So why did they go? They felt privileged to be invited, and they felt that they would gain acceptance and security as proper citizens of this king, Ahasuerus' kingdom. And they felt that the power of human king is what would protect them instead of God. So what happened? God decided to hide himself from the Jews. That's how almost Haman's evil decree came to be. And what did Esther and Mordechai do first to annul it? No, they didn't go to Ahasuerus. They went and they davened to God. They wept. They said psalms. And by doing that, they were able to be free. So, in order for God to allow us our independence to choose, God had to conceal himself from us in the world. Otherwise, we would constantly see always, you know, good and everything from God, and we would forget about who God is. And forget about thinking, oh, everything that we're doing is us. Therefore, we're given a mission to seek God and find him, to transform the world into a good and holy place. And that's what he did by the story of Purim. He could have made all those miracles, like Passover, the splitting of the sea, with the oil by Hanukkah. But no, we had to do the work. We had to pray. We had to do sackcloth, as it's brought down in the Megillah. So, therefore, that is something that is so really important for us in our lives as well. You know, the Torah is compared to light. True goodness. Just like darkness can be dispelled by a drop of light, even evil can be dispelled by Torah. If we don't forget God, if we don't forget our Torah and our mitzvahs, then we do what we need to do, even in dark places, like it was in the story of Purim, they were able to prevail. We are a super rational nation. Because if you think about, after all these things that happened to us in our lives, Spanish Inquisition, the Holocaust, this, that, we shouldn't be existing, we shouldn't be alive. But because of God and because of we're his special people, we have a special mission of making this world a better place. So now we should connect back to God, get back to Purim, wear masks, and we dress up on Purim to remind us that our outer appearance and the outer appearance of the world is not the true reality. It's always a mask. Purim shows us that we have this power to discover God even when he is concealed, when we don't see open miracles. And that's really what Purim is all about. You know, Purim, people think, oh, Purim, dress up. But there's a meaning why we dress up.
Of course.
So let's get rid of this concept, this mask, that's masking ourselves, spiritual life and our spiritual world, and bring it that we should be able to come closer to God. And that's the strong message I think that Purim really has. And, you know, there's a couple of things that we do on Purim. To be able to show that we're not only caring about ourselves, we care about other people as well.
Mishloach manot.
We give food parcels one to the other. We give money to the poor, one to the other, two different families. And if there's anyone that wants to give money to the poor, they can contact me. There's, unfortunately, poor people in our city of Windsor that people don't know about, and I know about. And I will be distributing on Purim as much money as I can get from people to those individuals. And it makes a big difference in that they wait for it. Then there is the hearing the Megillah. And then there is eating the joyful meal. So we not worry about ourselves, we worry about other people. And then we worry about ourselves by eating with other people, not by ourselves. And speaking about that, with other people, we celebrate Purim together. So Saturday night we have a Megillah reading at 7:45 at the Shire Chapel. It's open to everyone that wants to come. And then Sunday morning we have Minyan at 8:15, our regular Minyan, followed by Megillah reading, because you have to hear it twice, night and morning. And then we have our big annual community Purim party, which is Sunday afternoon at the JCC at 4:30, in the JCC in the gym.
Yeah.
We have a good turnout. Even though it's March break, we have a good turnout so far. And I encourage everyone to RSVP as soon as possible, because obviously we need numbers to make sure we have enough food. We're going to have plenty and plenty of sushi. We're going to have a full dinner as well with that. We're going to have dessert. We're going to have an entertainer who's going to bring in an exotic animal show, plus a live kangaroo. So it's going to be music, crafts for the kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if anyone is planning on coming, please, please, please RSVP as soon as possible. You can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com. You can call me, 519-256-2572. And make sure that you unmask the joys that there is in this month and Purim for the rest of our lives, and as well as our personal lives.
That sounds good. And I do hope it will be a happy party.
God willing, we've even, we've taken every measure. You know, unfortunately, there's been many bomb scares in the last couple of weeks in London and Toronto, which is terrible, cowardly act, stupidity.
Yeah.
But obviously, we've taken every measure to not fall into this hiding aspect of being scared, but to come out to proudly be Jewish and to proudly bring the joy of Purim. Every measure of safety is taken at the JCC.
Yeah, at B, all the Jewish.
As we will have as well hired police that will be there as well. So nothing to worry about. I encourage everyone, if that was an issue for anyone, to come out, show your Jewish pride, and to celebrate.
And no one can stop Adar's happiness.
Absolutely, never.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.
You too, and we'll speak soon.
We'll speak soon.
Have a happy Purim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.